Zero to Book is brought to you by Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing and sales podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm.
A lot of people aspire to write a book. Maybe you do, but you probably know it's a complex process. Zero to Book is documenting the journey from start to finish so you can learn how to take your book from an idea to a published product. Listen in as best-selling author Jeff Goins helps Pamela Wilson go from zero to book.
So Jeff, in the last episode, we talked about this counterintuitive approach that was supposed to help me come up with my big idea. Do you remember that?
I do remember it.
All right.
Did it work?
Yeah. I have to tell you, I was a little bit freaked out after we talked because I just got nervous because here's the thing. I'm trying to stay open and flexible to all these ideas, but I did sort of have a vision for this book. I had this idea that it was going to be this, you know, I keep calling it like a desktop companion for content marketing, something that you'll keep next to you that will help you as you're creating content. And I had stories I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell the story about how I never felt like a writer. I never really felt like a born writer. I was always the person who did the visual end of things. People gave me the words and I made the words look good. That was my thing. And the story I wanted to tell was how I had kind of cracked the code and figured out how to make content that was effective. And I had this little system that I developed and I wanted to teach people this system. So I had all this stuff I wanted to talk about. And then you come in with this counterintuitive idea and I'm like, oh no, I'm not going to be able to tell my story, you know? Mm-hmm. And the other piece of it is, you know, the one doesn't cancel out the other, but the other piece of it is I really want this book to be a beautiful object. Mm-hmm. We touched on this in our last episode, but I didn't get a chance to even tell you that I have an illustrator friend who's interested in contributing images to it. So, you know, I'm interested in how it looks as well as how it reads, right? So,
yeah.
So I'm listening to all these ideas about taking this counterintuitive approach and turning things on their head to make them more interesting. And I know in my heart that what you're telling me is absolutely what I need to do. But I was really afraid that I was going to have to give all these things up. And for me, they were a big part of the identity of the book, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I decided to trust the process. So I read the articles you sent me, and we can link to them in this episode again so that people know what we're talking about and what I was looking at when I came up with these ideas. And I opened up a mind map. And this is actually one of the ways that I do a lot of my writing is it starts as a mind map, and I just start kind of dumping branches and ideas all over the mind map, and then I start moving them around and organizing them. And I started out with that piece that you gave me a link to, which was that academic paper on how to be interesting.
Yes, it's called That's Interesting, and then some sort of academic title like Towards a Phenomenology.
Yes.
Of something or other.
Exactly. Yeah, it's pretty, I mean, it's academic. It's very academic. It's fairly dry. But it has all of the methodology in there. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to trust this process. I'm just going to put my ideas through this process and see how many of them I can make my idea fit into or see what gets inspired by all these different ideas. So one of the ones is one of the ways to be interesting is to take something that seems to be disorganized and and is in reality organized, right? So my idea for that was effective content isn't random. It's the result, and it's not the result of a writer who was born with this special talent necessarily. It has an underlying structure, and once you understand the underlying structure, you can use that to create great content. And I was like, well, that's kind of interesting. not that interesting though, you know? Uh-huh. So I kept working on it. One of the other ones is what seems to be assorted heterogeneous phenomena are in reality composed of a single element. Mm. And I'm like, what am I going to do with that? So the thought I had from that was content marketing isn't just a bunch of words that are randomly strung together. It's really the melding of creativity and business goals with a structure, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. So these, you know, those ideas aren't terrible. I think that they could be in the book. It's something that I could talk about. I don't think they're the big idea, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
So here's the one that popped out at me, and I want to run it by you and see if this might be my big idea. So the one that popped out at me was what seems to be a phenomena that functions ineffectively as a means for the attainment of an end.
It's a mouthful.
I know, and I'm not even done yet. I'm not even done yet. So let me try it again. I'll start from the beginning. It's a super long one. What seems to be a phenomena that functions ineffectively as a means to the attainment of an end is in reality a phenomena that functions effectively.
Huh.
And I'm like, okay.
So like the means is the end? Is that sort of what
Well,
that means?
It's sort of like what seems like it would help you achieve something does not help you achieve something, or what seems like it would not help you achieve something actually helps you achieve something.
Cool.
Right? So then I thought, well, you know, what I want to teach people is kind of like the lazy way to write content to market your business. Because I want to teach people a system that makes it easier, right? So then I came up with content marketing shortcuts for ambitious slackers. And then I started moving the words around and I came up with the Ambitious Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing. And the idea would be that even if you don't consider yourself a born writer, you can learn to create effective content marketing, and that the book is going to serve up shortcuts, it's going to serve up tips and techniques that will help you to create appealing content in a way that's fun and fast.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
So you, yes, good. I love the moniker, Ambitious Slacker. That I think one of the things that is really useful and helpful, at least from a marketing standpoint for a book, is to, any idea that you want to catch on, is to name things. Seth Godin is great at this. I asked Seth Godin one time in an interview, Seth, what do you do? You know, are you a writer? Are you entrepreneur? Are you a marketer? Like, what do you call yourself? And he said, I name things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's precisely what he does. Tribes, Purple Cow, Linchpin. He comes up with names that we already know, but he appropriates them to settings that we've not applied to them before, basically. So I love that idea, Ambitious Slacker. The first thing that you said, I thought was really interesting. And the phrase that popped into my mind is, and I'm a why guy, and this is a how book, so take that for what it's worth. You said the thing that you think is going to get you to a certain place may not, and the thing that you don't think will get you might. That is a very interesting idea if you could apply it to marketing. I think, I mean, at least what popped in my mind, you could say is the best way to market your work is to not try to market your work. And basically content marketing is the vehicle for doing that. And it could still be, you know, a how book, not a why book. And I think you could sort of unpack that in this subtitle or this tagline here, the Ambitious Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing. But to me, the big idea is you want your ideas to spread, stop marketing and start writing.
Mm.
And I think maybe it's maybe counterproductive to think in terms of big idea. That's intimidating, right? We talked before about one of the ways that you can find your counterintuitive idea is to basically say, I used to think this, but now I think this. And one of the things that you said, Pamela, that I heard was, I used to think that you had to be a born writer, to write. And now I realize that anybody who has an idea worth spreading can and should write, and there are ways to figure that out. I think the other idea in the book is I used to think, or we used to think, that marketing was about getting people to do stuff that they didn't want to do. And what I realized is the best way to market your stuff is to not appear as if you're marketing, which is really what content marketing is. You know, if you were to go to a bunch of Madison Avenue executives, and I don't really know what the setting would look like other than my avid watching of Mad Men, which I assume is historically accurate.
Oh, sure.
But if you go tell Don Draper, like, you just got to like write a bunch of articles and build trust over time, and people listen to you and you can sell things to them. I'm guessing that that would, like, they would sort of laugh at that idea, idea. And I can't remember. I think maybe even Brian Clark said this at some point. Content marketing is older than we realize. I mean, soap operas, in a way, are sort of content marketing. You know, it was soap companies creating dramas to sell soap to housewives. And so we, in a sense, we've always understood that you need to entertain or educate people to get their attention, and in order to deliver, a message to them that will hopefully lead to some sort of transaction. What we know now more than ever before is you really can't interrupt people, and you could have done that for a long time. You could use what Seth Godin calls interruption marketing, and it worked with TV for a long time. It worked with magazines for a long time. It doesn't work anymore. So I'm sort of processing what you're saying, but the ideas that I hear are you don't have to be a born writer to use writing to get your ideas out there, and you don't have to act like a marketer to get your ideas to spread. And in fact, I mean, that's sort of an interesting idea. I think a very interesting idea is the best marketing is stuff that doesn't look like marketing at all.
Right. Okay, but then the question that comes up for me is, and this was another question I wanted to ask you at this point in the process anyway, is I feel like this idea of the best way to market your business is to not look like you're marketing your business, that's an idea for people who have not necessarily been exposed to the concept of content marketing. So that's an idea that would introduce them to content marketing, and then I could go ahead and show them how to put together a piece of content marketing. The idea of a Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing is more for people who understand it, who understand that it can be a slog, because honestly, content marketing can be a slog. You and I know that. You have to keep at it consistently. I mean, I wrote a post for Copyblogger at one point, and the headline was, "Is content marketing the hamster wheel you can never get off?" or something. It's like, you know, it's a slog. And so I think the title that I proposed, The Ambitious Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing, is more targeted toward people who understand its power, are using it currently, and want to do it more efficiently. And then your idea about, you know, use content marketing because it's marketing that doesn't look like marketing, that's for a different audience. That's what I think anyway. So my question to you is, at what point in this process are we nailing down the audience? That feels important.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about two things. One, you said I'm going to trust the process. Immediately what I thought of when you said that was, and I think this is what we're coming to, is when you're writing a book, you have to trust yourself too. And I think this is true for, you know, content marketing too. You hear all these experts telling you how to reach an audience or sell things or do this or do that. And I'm in a season of life right now where I have tried on a bunch of other people's strategies and gone, some of that works, some of that's good, some of that is not me. And a friend recently gave me some great advice. He said, if I could give you one piece of advice, it would be to trust yourself more, because you seem to constantly question your ideas and your decisions, and that leads to other people questioning them because you're not confident in them. So trust yourself. So that would be, you know, I'm passing that advice on to you, Pamela. If you feel, you know, certain about this is what this audience needs, I think we're loosely calling the audience content marketers at this point, trust that. My job, I think, is just help you process this in a way that is going to lead to an interesting book. We talked last time about you don't just launch a best-selling book, you write a best-selling book. So let's assume that this is sort of our working idea, the Slacker's Guide. I want to read something to you, and then I want you to answer a question, because I think that the reality is the answer is going to come from you, not me. And if it comes from me or somebody else, hey, you should write this book, you're going to start writing this book, and halfway through you're going to go, this isn't what I need to write.
This isn't what I set out to write. Yeah.
Yeah. And some of that's fun, but some of that, if you try, like I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm about to work on a new book and I'm like, yeah, but how do I get this audience to care about it? And how do I get, you know, this to, you know, hit the mainstream and do this and do that? And what I end up with is this book that is so watered down that it's not for anyone.
Mm, right.
And then I go and have lunch with a friend and I go, that's who this book is for, because there is an idea that is bursting inside of me that I have to get out. I had a conversation with Ryan Holiday not too long ago, and he said, what people don't understand about a book is, like, if you wrote a good book and you did it well and you did your work, like, that is the most succinct way you can put that idea. And if it is just a blog post that turned into a book, it's a bad book. If you are going to endeavor to write a book, this needs to be a big idea that the most succinct way you can put it is in 200 pages and, you know,
right.
50,000 words.
Right.
But in order to do that, you got to go, this is an idea that I am bursting with that I can't help but talk about with my friends and annoy my spouse. And, you know, every time I go out to coffee with people, I go, this is what you need. And I can't fully explain it until I, you know, write it out in 50,000 words.
Yeah, I mean, of the things that we've talked about, that ambitious Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing, I think comes closest to the book that I definitely have inside of me. It's the one that I have been talking about incessantly. And when I talk to people who are in the audience that I would like to reach with that book, they look at me and their eyes get really big and they go, I need that book.
What do you say to them?
I say, I'm working on a book and I want it to be a guide that you will literally keep on your desktop when you're writing content, something that you'll have right there. And if you get to a point in the process where you feel stuck, and maybe that's at the introduction, maybe it's when you're writing your headline, maybe it's when you're putting together a call to action at the end, and you just feel stuck for ideas, you'll be able to flip open this book, go to the section that talks about that, and get yourself right back on track. It's going to be right there with you every step of the way. And they all go, oh, I need that book, you know. So that's the book I want to write. And you know, what I love about this Ambitious Slacker's Guide is I started out with a content mentor. It's a much less interesting name. I like this name because I'm still able to deliver the kind of help that I want to deliver, but I think there is a better chance that more people will find it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I want to read something for you, and you tell me, I just want you to answer this question. So I'm looking at this paper, and we can link to this. This is the full Murray Davis paper. I think what we talked about before, what I sent you the first time, was just sort of a synopsis. This is the actual paper that he wrote. So here's a quote from this. In the summary, that's interesting, towards the phenomenology of sociology and a sociology of phenomenology paper, which I think was published in 1971.
Mm-hmm.
He says, how do theories which are generally considered interesting differ from theories which are generally considered non-interesting? Answer, interesting theories are those which deny certain assumptions of their audience, while non-interesting theories are those which affirm certain assumptions of their audience. What's funny about this paper is everything I read, I go, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It has that effect on you.
The other thing he says is, it has long been thought that a theorist is considered great because his theories are true, but this is false. A theorist is considered great not because his theories are true, but because they are interesting. Those who carefully and exhaustively verify trivial theories are soon forgotten, whereas those who cursorily and expediently This guy's British, I believe. Verify interesting theories are long remembered. In fact, the truth of a theory has very little to do with its impact, for a theory can continue to be found interesting even though its truth is disputed, even refuted. So my question is, if an interesting theory is one that denies certain assumptions of the audience, how does your book deny the assumptions of its audience?
The use of the word slacker to me does that. The original title was actually The Slacker's Guide to Content Marketing, and it's possible that that's a stronger title. But anyone who's done any kind of content marketing knows how much work it is and how challenging it can be day in and day out, or week after week, whatever your publishing schedule is, to continually create really high-level effective content marketing. So to me, that slackers thing is just like, wait, slacker? Like, slacker and content marketing don't seem like they would be in the same phrase.
So what is the statement that, like, is like the elevator pitch for the book? Because I, like, when I hear slacker, I obviously people go, oh, I don't have to you know, work myself to the bone. You know, the 4-hour work week is sort of an example of that. You don't have to do this to get that. What is the this and that of the book? You don't have to blank. You know, you can, you know, to do blank.
I would have to think about it a little bit. I mean, I did have an elevator pitch, which I read off to you a few minutes ago, but it's very long.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, even if you don't consider yourself a born writer, you can still learn to create effective content marketing. But yeah, I think I would have to make that more succinct, I would have to keep thinking a bit more, I think.
Yeah. I mean, and it might be, you don't have to be a great writer or a sleazy salesperson to effectively market your content.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a simple process that will get you to where you want to go without having to work yourself to the bone.
Right. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's sort of like you don't have to be a born writer to use content marketing to promote your business.
Is that an assumption that the audience, so assuming the audience is familiar with content marketing, is that an assumption that they have about the topic?
I think most people see content marketing and they say, oh, I'm not a writer. I can't do that. I'm not a writer. I don't write at all, you know, and it scares a lot of people away because of that. The audience member that I have very clear in my mind is the kind of person that I talk to all the time on Copyblogger, which is someone who is completely convinced of the power of content marketing, but does not feel like they have the chops or the tools to really do it right. And they, you know, sometimes it's really simple stuff, just really simple. We have somebody in our membership program, and I coached them a few weeks ago, and I was looking at their website in one of our webinars, actually, and I said, you know, I'm looking at your articles, and they look really interesting, but you have these very long paragraphs, and I think people see them, and it's like a big wall of text, and they don't want to read them, so just hit your return key more often. And this was like a revelation to him, you know? He was like, he came back onto our forum and said, I went back to all my old posts and I added returns to them and they look so much better and they read so much better. And, you know, I just tell people, like, if the thought turns a corner, hit your return key. Like, forget everything you learned in English class. Your paragraph doesn't need to be 5 sentences long. It's simple stuff like that that can make a huge difference to how people's content is perceived. It's not actually all about writing. Some of it is about formatting.
I would say writing is about that too. You know, people just forget that the definition of a paragraph or a sentence or when you can use a comma or a semicolon or a colon or a period. All of those rules have changed and evolved over time based on how culture has changed and how we effectively reach people and they respond to it. Writing really is communication, and people forget that. I talk to lots of writers and they forget that. Like you're advocating writing to marketers I think you could say that. And I'm advocating marketing to writers and going, look, like you have to care about how this is going to affect people, because that's part of it.
Right.
I like that. I think that's a working big idea. You don't have to be a great writer to be a content marketer.
Right.
And, you know, this is sort of a niche book. So it doesn't have to be a big, big, you know, Malcolm Gladwell kind of idea, but it should stir something. Like, you should be able to say that to anybody in the target audience for this. So I would imagine a lot of people, like you mentioned, the copy blogger audience, and they just have this big sigh of relief.
Right.
I was talking to a speaker today, a public speaker, and he said, you know, you've heard that thing where like you like pick your topic and you niche down and you do that. And he goes, I'm really struggling with that. And so somebody told me to just kind of put my stuff out there and find my voice through that. And so I'm doing that. And I said, you know, I really disagree with that. And then I kind of told him my process for why I don't think niching down is good, or even what the most successful communicators do. They do something different. They write for a worldview. They communicate with a theme, you know, a thread woven throughout everything. And they don't get pigeonholed into a certain area. Anyway, regardless of whether or not that's true, you know, to kind of quote Murray Davis, it's interesting to people who have heard one thing, and he goes, oh my gosh, thank you for saying that. Where have you been all my life? Oh, I felt all this pressure to niche down and pick a topic, and I didn't know what to do, and you've just given me the keys to life. Now, like somebody's listening to this going, Jeff, you're wrong. And that may actually be true, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about how do you take an idea and make it interesting? Now, we want an idea that's interesting that's also true, but as Mr. Davis says, whether or not an idea is interesting has nothing to do with its truth. It has to do with how it's structured. So we can take an untrue idea and make it interesting, and people will talk about it, and you know that's where urban legends come from. We can also take a good idea that's true and make it interesting. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do here. And I think you've got that.
Yeah. I mean, it's in its early days, right? It's just testing out its legs. So I have a feeling it will evolve from here. And I think at some point, I don't know if it was a recorded conversation, but I told you I don't get married to my ideas. When you've been in a creative field for as long as I have, you just don't get terribly attached to your ideas. So I'm very open to rethinking that down the road if needed. But that's the basic idea. I don't know if I'm expressing it in the best way, but I think that's the basic idea. And I have known from the very beginning that this was going to be a fairly niche book, you know? Totally. And that's one of the reasons I decided not to go the agent publishing house route, because I don't know how interesting this would be for people. But it's the book that I want to write.
Yeah. And the reality is trade publishers are always trying to make books appeal more to the masses. And that's their job. They're selling to Barnes & Noble and airports, and they want this to appeal to the every man and every woman. The problem is if you have something very specific to say for a specific audience, you can really do that audience a disservice and really not end up saying anything. I also think that the writing process and the research process, if it's an honest process, will probably yield surprising results where you go, oh, like we thought this was true, but as we started to go through this, it really ended up being this. And sometimes those are big paradigm shifts, and other times they're just sort of tweaks along the way. But I assume that it's probably going to get more clear as you go. My question for you, Pamela, now is, because I think this is pretty important to the book writing process, especially if you have an audience. A lot of people go into their cave and write and come out and go, here's my book, now I got to sell it. And that's why we wanted to begin with the big idea and make sure it was, first of all, a marketable idea. And I think the second part of it is, you know, really testing the demand for the idea. It sounds to me like you have a lot of, you know, you've gotten a lot of anecdotal response over the years that there's a need for this book. It's not just something that you want to say. it's something that's not out there that maybe you wished you had when you started doing content marketing, and you know there's still a demand for that. My question is, how much have you tested that? How much more could you do that? Because my audience is like my best research tool, because they're the ones that I'm first going to go to and say, will you buy this book? And I don't want to write it just for them. I think a book is a tool to help you, can be a tool to help you reach new people. But the first thing that I'm doing is taking friends out to coffee and talking about this idea. And then I'm, you know, kind of trying to test the waters with my audience through articles, blog posts, podcasts, whatever, and just get feedback along the way to see how close to home am I hitting. I'm curious how much of that you feel like you've done.
Well, I'll tell you what, I would love to talk about that on the next episode, because I think that's a whole separate conversation.
Yeah.
You know,
great.
And this one, we've gone fairly long on this one, so why don't we wrap this one up and then we can tackle that, because I definitely want to hear more about it. So we'll tackle that on the next one. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.